Well, good morning, friends. I would invite you, you may want to open up your Bibles because I'm going to refer to some lines that are not in, some texts that are not in the section I'm reading. So it's in there. Maybe mine says 17 to 18. If you want to open your Bibles, it's Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And Jesus' face shone like the sun, and Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for you to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us." I think we all have calendars in us. And some of them we write on our phones or on our paper calendars, but there's also calendars of events or dates or experiences which have been significant in our lives. And they can be back in our childhood, like when we first rode a bike, or when a teacher praised us, or maybe when we went to sleepaway camp, or our first relationship. Sometimes they're also hard events. Maybe when we found out that our parents were not perfect, when we were shamed for the first time, when we realized that while our hearts could feel love, they could also be broken. Or maybe there are events like when you went away to college, or your first job, or maybe when you had an apartment and it felt like it was your own. Or maybe marriage, or maybe there are things like the first time you lost a job, or you couldn't figure out why you couldn't make that person feel the same way about them, or when there was a death or a divorce that has kind of rocked your world, or maybe it's when you prayed and it seemed like no one heard you, or the first time you believed maybe God wasn't as clear as you thought, or maybe you mark those calendars by things like, "I'm still coming to church even though I don't believe or have trouble with it." We have internal calendars. And the church also tries to teach you a calendar. It's a church season calendar. Green for ordinary time. Purple or blue for Lent. White for what day is this? Yeah, that's the kind of popularity it gets, this Transfiguration Sunday. I've quoted before, but a writer named Phyllis Tickle says, "This Transfiguration Sunday has the greatest degree of popular acceptance. Ironically, it also enjoys the greatest degree of popular indifference." I mean, interesting enough, there's no branch of the Christian tradition that denies it. And that's kind of really wild in itself. It's three independent witnesses that speak about this event. And according to this event, by three grown men, Jesus is transformed, transfigured, and two historical figures go back and forth through time. And we kind of say, okay, because I think we really can't comprehend what this day is like. But I want to put Transfiguration back into our spiritual calendars. And I want to put it back and tell you I cannot explain it. It's kind of this mysterious day. And here we come into the situation, and you may know before, if you go into earlier into the chapter of 16, Peter has just had his best day. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And he says, "You're the Messiah. You're the one." And it's like, "Oh, Peter, you are so great. On you, I'm going to build my church. Way to go." And then they are up here at this mountain. They are going to pray. And Jesus takes the three of them with them. And I think when the very first Christians, the very first believers heard this story, I think they were more equipped to hear it than we were. I mean, they go up to a mountain, and for Jesus, he goes up to mountains, goes to be alone when he is in a need to pray, when he's in need to be apart from the people. I suspect it's when he felt his soul breathe a little easier, when he looked around and remember his Father, the Creator, who had created the world. I think he went to those mountain, those times away to pray to get a sense of following what Jesus, what he was supposed to do, even when it was really, really hard. So he goes up to the mountain, and he takes these three with him, and then suddenly, on that day, Jesus is transfigured in front of them. The word for Greek is metamorphosis. You know that one. Metamorphosis, completely changed in form and substance. And it's like his face shone and his robes became white as any kind of white could be. And he was like something totally different. And if that wasn't enough, Elijah and Moses start talking to them. Really? And Moses and Elijah, the people that heard the story, they knew that Moses was the one that brought people out of Israel. He's the hero of the nation. He's the one that went up to a mountaintop. You heard about that, and kind of was in God's presence, and his face got really red and sunburned in the presence of God. And Elijah, the prophet, the one who spoke about God's return and spoke about the Messiah who was yet to come. And there they are, both there. And God bless Peter. What does he say? Hey, Jesus, it's really lovely that they are there. It's really, did you get that line? Lord, it is good for us to be here. Really? This is your idea? And he said, if you wish, I can build some temporary shelters for the three of you. Like, it was one of the dumbest things Peter had ever said. Really? I'm going to control this moment? Let me build your shelters for you. And Jesus is so gracious because he ignores him. He doesn't react to it. He just kind of lets him be. And even while he's still rambling on, there is this cloud, this presence, which the people reading the story knew, ooh, that's going to be a God thing. And they hear this voice that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then the disciples, they're scared. People try to say, ah, well, it's frightened. And they fall down to the ground, and they're overcome by fear. And then did you notice the real gracious thing? Jesus came to them and touched them. I don't think I noticed that before. Touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And then when they had gotten up, the whole thing had dissipated. And he said, "Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man is risen again or comes back to life." And I got to go back to Peter just for a moment. This is the one that got the $1,000 question right. Who are you? And he said, "You're the Christ, you're the Messiah." And then Jesus starts to tell them about suffering and death and resurrection. And do you know what Peter says? God forbid it, Lord. This may never happen to you. Really? And that's when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. This is not your way. So he's got it right. He messes it up completely. He gets called Satan by Jesus. Never a good thing. And yet Christ invites him up to that moment. He is still there. I love that sense. Not a perfect one, but one of God's beloved invites him in to that moment. And I wonder why he wanted to build shelters. It brings back to it's a Jewish holiday of Thanksgiving. I think he was just so overwhelmed, he blurted something out. He just said something. He kind of wanted to capture the moment. I think he wanted to contain it in some way. It was so mysterious and wonderful, and he wanted it to last. I think he also maybe in one way longed for mystery and didn't really want it so mysterious. He wanted to put his hands on it. He wanted to be able to explain this mystery of what had happened. And I feel some ways like Peter does. I think we kind of want our God manageable. It'd be really good if we could have a God moment. Maybe every third Sunday we came here, that would be enough. And could we have an experience with the Holy when we want it? But if we confess to each other, I know that there are some of you out there, and it's been me, that hasn't had a God moment in a long time. But maybe the miracle is that you're still sitting here saying, I dare you. Or let me feel something. Or I'm not going to let my unbelief stop my hope. There is a beauty in that. And sometimes I think we want our faith kind of manageable. We want stories about Jesus, you know, loving the children. Isn't that wonderful? And not the turning over the tables, you know, in the temple causing an uproar. We want Jesus that loves everyone, and probably not that Jesus said, okay, stop and sin no more, change your life. Really? Can I do that later? We want Easter and resurrection and not death and crucifixion and denial. We want baptisms and weddings and not memorial services and prayers around a container of ashes or around a grave. And what I hear in this story is both are a part of life. We may have some really amazing God moments, and then we're going to have some down-to-earth moments. You've heard that. I had a mountaintop experience. They kind of get it from this scripture, I think, that ecclesiastical, that amazing moment. And sometimes we don't. And God is with us in all of them. What I learned from this passage for me is the old kind of when I was a kid, they taught us to stop, look, and listen. He goes up to that place for prayer. There is an intention to be quiet, to be with God. And here's what I know or what I have observed. We have to set time apart to at least be quiet, to breathe in the life of God, to maybe pray for other people, to pray for ourselves, and then be silent. To maybe hear how we are to follow in the steps of Jesus, in the way of Jesus. I will confess, I've never heard the voice of God like straight out, Maggie Lou, do this. It probably would scare me. Maybe that would be good. But I have had moments when I know where God is kind of pushing me and nudging me and knowing that this is the way that follows in the way of Jesus. And sometimes I am aware of those when I am quiet, when I stop, when I listen. And so I'm really going to push you to actually maybe use that devotional. Because we're going to talk about some hard issues during Lent, about how do we look like the beloved community? How do we admit that, yes, we have racism in the church and in our lives, and there is poverty, and God calls us to root these out. So I think there's a call to stop, to look, and to listen in that. I also hear the invitation in this, is there's a lot of mystery and things we don't understand. Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you, Maggie Henderson. There's a lot of mystery. Go out there and get it. But I think sometimes it means you go into places that are new and kind of open you up. And sometimes it's in music. You have told me that sometimes just a hymn, just one word, will breathe some new life into you. I've also had some of you tell me about sermons and things I've said that you thought I've preached, and I have not said it. But I think God works through that. I think God speaks very loudly in places that are not in this room, because it's like an hour and a half a week, really. You can't limit God to just that. And I had kind of a God experience on Saturday night. Yes, this Saturday night. I went to Grace Cathedral. They have a new art installation called Illumine. And it was developed by the man who did the light on the bridge. You know the light on the Bay Bridge? It's a nonprofit. He also did the halo up in the Castro, does art for the masses. And one of the two people of it got an idea that he wanted to do a light installation on Grace Cathedral up on the Labyrinth. And he had absolutely no contacts with Grace. You know, they don't really let you go into their roof and put up a lot of equipment and take over the space. But he spoke to the person who was the executive director of the Interfaith Council, and they put them together. And so he spent about 4 months reading, I hear, 50 books on spiritualness and architecture, and built this amazing kind of light structure that goes onto the Labyrinth. Now, I can't explain it to you because it was so amazing. But the machine that does the light and there's music and is on the Labyrinth cost $100,000. And so he went to the man, the Microsoft person who just died not too long ago, Paul something or other. Anyone help me? Great. Who, Leslie? Yeah, Paul Allen. He said, yes, you can borrow the machine. And then he died, and his family said, you can have the machine. So I went to this experience of light and music on the Labyrinth, and one of the men who developed it said, I'm an atheist, and this is my job to put it in here. But he says, now I know that there is some kind of God thing. An atheist in a piece of art felt the divine moving in that. And I got to hear his story last night and sit under the Labyrinth and see light and beautiful things that I can't explain. But for that moment, it opened up my heart again. That man experienced God in art, and I got to hear his story. That was my divine moment. So friends, here's what I'm going to tell you. I think God still speaks in this world. I think the way of Jesus are good ways to be. And it means God will use people like us, like Peter. You got it, you didn't get it, and yet I'm still using you. And we counter a Christ who doesn't give Peter a hard time, who invites him into the holy, who puts his hand and touches him and said, don't be afraid. Ah, I long for moments like that. And they are out there, big and small. May God transfigure us this season. May God work some small new thing in our spirit and in our heart. Individually, small little pieces, but together we may be this bright light for each other, for the world, for hope, as we stumble away and stumble along in the ways of Jesus. May it be so. May it be so. Amen.